Today on Real Radio.
She says here in verse 18, sit still. That's hard to do. But she says, sit still. Exodus 14, 13 says, stand still. Psalm 46, 10 says, be still. It's not normal for us to do. But Ruth is going to wait upon Boaz to perform the task that is needed to redeem her for life.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the Old Testament narrative of Ruth. We're looking at chapter 3 and focusing on the last four verses. It's part of the wonderful account of Boaz meeting Ruth and the two falling in love. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs in a presentation called Love Will Find a Way.
Every time she's with him, she's blessed more and more and more. You know, fellowship with God does that, you know. The more you're with him, the more you're blessed. Look, let's just face up to the reality. Some of us are really struggling in our walks because we just don't spend time with him. And then we wonder, boy, does my walk stink? Well, maybe you're not hanging out with the Lord too much.
Nothing's happening.
Well, you know, you got to be a little quiet about that because you're kind of indicting yourself. Get with him, will you? Every time you're with him, and the more you're with him, the more he blesses you. And he doesn't, Boaz doesn't say, okay, you ready? Ready? Take a deep breath. And whoo, boom. And her knees are not wobbling as she walks away. Listen, he puts upon her an amount that is a blessing, but with every blessing that comes with God and from God, because we live in a life of fallenness and of sin and of evil, yeah, there's a burden to carry, there's a load to bear, there's trials, there's difficulties. She's going to have those difficulties with or without the blessing on her back. Are you with me? Are you following what I'm saying? He gave her a blessing. Life has its difficulties. If you're a Christian or not, you're going to have difficulty. The funny thing about the Christian, God promises us difficulties. Are you Christian? Yes, I promise you difficulties. Well, you know what? If we understood God right and his nature right, we'd say, Lord, I trust you to not give me what is 1 Corinthians 10:13 say, that God is so incredibly faithful that he will not give you a temptation so great that you can't handle it. But with the temptation, he'll provide the way of escape. With every temptation, with every trial, with every difficulty of life, there is a blessing that has been laid on us to draw from. And think about this for a moment. The Christian, we, all of us together, and sometimes pastors are the worst. I was in Europe last week, pastors, all these pastors together, and we were to encourage these men. Why? Because it's tragic, but in a pastoral thing or in ministry thing or in life period, we can be Christians and we can begin to say, oh man, this Christian thing is so hard. Life is so tough. I don't know if I can go to another prayer meet. I don't know if I can go on Sunday. It's so hard. Wait, have you forgotten how hard it was to live in the world? Come on, think. The world brings out its slideshow and all of its wonderful stuff to show us. Remember, and they remember, Satan did this to the hearts of the children of Israel. Moses led you out here to kill you. Sitting around eating this manna. Who needs that? Why don't you go back to Egypt? You can have all the meat and potatoes you want. Plus, we got onions there. And the people began to say, yeah. Be careful, Christian. And some of you, you've been blessed by God. You're a young Christian. You didn't experience much of the hell that the world has got to give out. So you might think the world ain't all that bad. And you're saying, well, I don't quite understand what you're talking about. You know, my life hasn't been all that rough. Some of you have had the wonderful blessing of either being protected by a wonderful family, a father and a mother, or whatever the situation might be, or being a Christian and God has kept you and you don't know much about the world's evils. God bless you and God will use you greatly. But some people have had a rough time. And the world doesn't remind you of the rough time. The world reminds you of all the seemingly good times. Have you noticed that? Oh, remember when? Well, remember a little harder that after the when, there was the consequences. Do you remember that? I had a note this week slipped underneath my door. Somebody got messed up in a sexual relationship. And that note says, I don't know what to do. I have AIDS now. The Bible says, can you take sin and hold it to your chest and not be burned by it? God blesses. Boaz blesses Ruth, and he puts this wonderful, wonderful shawl of grain to sustain and to bless. Yeah, she had to carry it, but it was the joy of her heart. And you know what? There's a lot of things that we'll carry as Christian servants to the world, the gospel maybe, or whatever the case might be. There's things that we carry, but may we never, as pastors or as Christians, complain, ever. Lest we forget, we're going to heaven when this show's over. Have you noticed? Do you remember that? Keep that in mind. We're going to heaven. I don't know what it is. God is so good to me. I told you before, I like really bumpy airplane flights. And we were on a flight. I thought this was it, man. It was so bad. People were like almost crying on this plane. It was great. The pots were coming off of the thing in the back. It's just great. And the pilot goes, it was a British Airways flight, and these guys are like hilarious, because when the plane gets a bump, he goes, and I can't do a British accent, but the guy comes, the pilot goes, this is your captain, and I do apologize for the bump. The bump. And then it got worse. Oh dear, I'm doing the best I can, please believe me. It's quite difficult to keep a plane of this size in the turbulence. We're experiencing 220 mile an hour winds, and it's very difficult, and he's like apologizing. Like, man, go for it. You know, let's go, you know? And it's really rocking and rolling. And you can hear people, ooh, 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 ah, ooh, ah. And every time that would happen, ladies and gentlemen, I'm doing absolutely the best I can. I can't tell, you know, I wanted to grab the microphone. It's okay. It's all right. Bumps come with life, you know. But for the Christian, what if the wing would have snapped off? Oh, don't even think like that. Wait, man, we were at 41,000 feet. He goes, we've climbed up 41,000 feet to try to get out of this. It would have taken us about maybe somewhere between 8 and 12 minutes to hit the ground or the Atlantic. And the tough part is, it's not the fall that kills you, it's the sudden stop. That's what kills you. But for the Christian, how long do we die? How long do we die? How long will it take? For some, we might get cancer and it might take a long time. For some, we might get hit by a truck. For some, it could be an airplane. For some, it could be stepping off the curb, or who knows what it might be. Well, we don't know. The thing is, we've got to look at what's happening in verses 15 to 18. A promise has been given to us. God blesses us and he loads us up with them. And we walk around worrying. not Ruth. She's got a honey. And he's going to take care of her. And so do you. And Jesus is his name. Trusting in him. Leaning upon him. Listen to this. I had to throw this in. It says in verse, and I know I'm jumping all over, but I want to. There's a reason. It says in verse 15, then she went into the city. Then, only then, she went into the city. And as she spends more time with Boaz, of course, she's more blessed. We've talked about that. Listen to this. In the Song of Solomon, chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. Let me read it to you. And then, I still have time. We're still under the clock, so you can take it easy. We're doing real, real good today. Song of Solomon, chapter 3, verse 1 says, she says, Abishag, the Shulamite woman, she says, by night on my bed I sought the one I love. I sought him, but I didn't find him. I will rise now, she says to herself, and I'm going to go around the city, and I'm going to go in the streets and in the squares, and I'm going to seek after the one I love. I'm going to look for him. And I sought him, but I didn't find him. And the watchmen who go out about the city found me and said, have you found the one that you love? Isn't that something? And scarcely had I passed by the watchmen of the city when I found the one I love. And I held him and would not let him go until I had brought him to the house of my mother into the chamber. And we better not talk about the rest of it. The Jews not only understand that as the relationship of Solomon and his bride, but our relationship with the Lord. Are you hungry inside? Are you hungry? I'm starving, man. Are you starving for Jesus? Are you hungry? You know that thing about what Jesus said, those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, are you hungry? Have you sought the one you love? Have you searched for him? You haven't been able to find him. You know what that feels like? You know what that feels like? You've sought him. You haven't been able to find him. And even others are saying, have you found what you're looking for? Have you found what you're looking for? And then she says, I found him. And when I found him, I wouldn't let him go. And I took him to my mom's house. That speaks of sealing the relationship for good. The Christian, oh Jesus. The scripture says, early will I seek you. I love that passage in Psalms because it implies no one else is around, no one else is awake. It's early. I'll seek him. It's a beautiful thing. And then finally, truly, she says in verse 18, sit still, my daughter. And I want to point out three verses that's kind of fun, and we'll wrap it up with this. She says here in verse 18, sit still. That's hard to do, but she says, sit still. Exodus 14, 13 says, stand still. Psalm 46, 10 says, be still. It's not normal for us to do, but Ruth is going to wait upon Boaz to perform the task that is needed to redeem her for life. You can close your Bible and relax. We're done. I want to put this in your head. When I thought about this, Ruth is resting. Naomi's excited and happy to see what's going to happen. Boaz is soon going to be working his tail off. And in the midst of all of Jesus' ministry, he was working and working and working, but there are always times of rest. He made sure of it. And he made sure his followers had times of rest. The Christian should be such a strange, paradoxical person in the world. We're to be resting in our soul, but so busy about kingdom things. And God has blessed you with your family or with your job or with your retirement or whatever the case may be, that you might do your Christian thing in that place. And sometimes he says, sit still. Naomi could have turned to Ruth and said, I think you better sit down, dear, and start knitting some booties. And you just take it easy. He's going to do his thing. You sit still, get on the phone, call a florist, get the photographer ready. He'll be back. She says, by the end of the day, sweetheart, it's going to be done. Moses says to the people of Israel, stand still and see God's salvation. Oh no, can we run ahead of God and fix it and try to do it ourselves? Moses says, stand still. And then Psalms 46 says, be still. Just be still. And I think about Moses. God says, I want to talk to you. I want to get to be buddies with you and stuff. I want you to come up to the mountaintop. So he leaves 2.83 million people. How do you do this? I mean, can you imagine trying to communicate to that many people? Tell them to sit down. You got to have people, maybe about every 100 people. You got to have a relayer. You know, AT&T. Tell them to sit down. Tell them to sit down. Tell them to sit down. By the time it gets 3 million people, how long does it take to get them to sit down? It's time to get up. Can you imagine? The people are there, and Moses says to Aaron, his brother, why don't you stay here with the people? You know, you're the priest anyway, and you're the one with the mouth. You stay here. And Moses heads to the mountain, but read it carefully. Joshua's with him. Remember, it says that Joshua was Moses' assistant pastor. So he's with him. So they get to the base of Mount Sinai, and Moses says, okay, Joshua, you stay here. I'll be back. Okay. You're the man. Moses goes up the hill. How long was he up there for? 40 days. Can you imagine? Joshua? Now, Moses, you envy Moses. Oh, man, I don't be in his presence. He didn't eat for 40 days. God supernaturally sustained him, kept his blood healthy and vibrant, life going. God, that's what happens when you're in the presence of the Lord. He's like, he pumps you up. And the people, what did they do? Hey, Aaron, what happened to your brother? I don't know. Well, we need a God. Don't you think? We've been talking to everybody, and you know, we kind of come to the consensus, we need a God. Can you make us a God? I'm not really into that. We're following, you know, the one true God of the universe who made it all. I don't think we ought to do it. Oh, come on, make us a God. All the ladies, please, can you cuff up your earrings, please, and bracelets and jewelry? They get all the gold and silver together, and, you know, according to his story, you know, you could just see him, you know, Judge Ito's sitting there, and Aaron's on the stand, and he goes, I don't know what happened. I threw in the gold, and out come this cow. Okay, we believe you. This cow, I like what one ancient commentator put it. He said, they threw in the gold, and out came a sacred bull. That's exactly what it was. Bull. Look, our God who led us out of Egypt, a golden cow. The people began to drink, party, and take their clothes off. Where's Moses? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. He's having a great time. What are the people doing? Oh, they're having a great time too. They're all drunken and orgied out. Where's Joshua? Gosh, I could have swore he said he'd be back. Can you imagine being Joshua? 40 days. And this thought came into my mind. When you're waiting for the Lord to do his thing, you know what? This is a pretty heavy thought, so you ought to write it down if it blesses you. I think God gave it to me because I didn't read it anywhere. And I'll be done. I found something. When I'm with people I don't like to be with, time drags. It's like, oh man. Or you go to a restaurant and you're with somebody you don't want to be with. How long's the wait? Hour and a half. Can you shoot me now, please? But if you're with somebody, isn't it true? Wait. Wait can be the worst word in the world. Unless you enjoy the company you're with. If they say it's an hour and a half wait, and you're with people that you love to be with, or with the person you love to be with. And how long? Hour and a half. That's cool. You got an hour and a half more time, don't you? It's exciting. The other night we went out to dinner to this place in Orange County. It's called Gandhi's. You got to go there. If you've never had Indian food, you got to eat Indian food. It's called Gandhi's. As for Aman, incredible place. Tell them you go to Calvary Chapel. Seriously. Incredible food. And I was all concerned about the wait. Oh, it's going to be there might be this huge wait. There's hardly anybody there at that hour. But it's funny, you know, we live in a culture, we got to hurt. And I'm going down the freeway. There's a parking spot. There's a parking spot. And you go pulling up, and there's this big white thing, suburban kind of machine, pulling up. There's a parking spot. You know, ladies don't drive like that, but guys are like, parking spot. And it's kind of funny, because you know you're getting there, because you want to hurry up and get to the table, because we were with somebody we wanted to be with. We want to spend time. Well, jockeying for this spot, pull up there, and there's two, one's a car, and one's this big thing. And we get out of the car, and it was Greg Laurie. When you're with people that you enjoy, time's not an issue. God in our lives, moment by moment, day by day, time's not an issue. He's wonderful to wait with. He'll even hold your hand.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. And a look at the Old Testament book of Ruth, chapter 3, in verses 15 through 18. It's a presentation called Love Will Find a Way. And we'll pick up with more of the book of Ruth on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. The Old Testament narrative of Ruth meeting Boaz is not only a beautiful love story, but significant in terms of genealogy. In other words, if you want to be better versed in the Messiah's lineage, as found in Matthew 1, for instance, the book of Ruth is a great work to study. So we're making available Pastor Jack's series through the book of Ruth on MP3 CD. Our offer? For your gift to the ongoing work of Real Radio of any amount, we'll send it your way. Just ask for the Book of Ruth on MP3. To get in touch with us here at Real Radio by telephone, our number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Or for the cost of a stamp, you can send your gift to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. You may also visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time. We at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.